We are living out today the scripture, Proverbs 19:21, that says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but God's purposes overcomes. The plan today, had things gone as planned, you would have seen a full choir. You would have seen worshipers on this platform leading worship ages 14 to 80-something. However, it would have been the culmination of a weekend of worship and music workshop that we would have had with a team from Dallas Christian College. But ice on the roads all the way between Dallas and Amarillo kept the team from coming today. We do have one man left standing. Scott Spees is here to share, bring the word to us today. Scott's a good friend of our family. I've known Scott since early 90s. When I was too young to, account for anything at all. And he was much wiser than I was. back at Dallas Christian College, Scott has held many different positions and served the Lord in many different ways, just at Dallas Christian in the area of worship arts, in the area of institutional advancement, also serving the kingdom as a missionary in Russia. He is going to share with us today and help us celebrate the fact that we do have this intergenerational, multi-generational church and how important that is for the kingdom. So would you help me welcome Scott?
Thank you. I don't know what that means that I'm the last man standing unless... I definitely didn't draw the short straw because I've had a great time being here with you all today. And I know that Leanne and Rachel are disappointed that we weren't able to make yesterday happen, but we're going to reschedule that very soon and get together with your choir and your worship team, and we're looking forward to that. I bring you greetings from the faculty and staff at Dallas Christian College. I think the last time I was here in an official capacity would have been in 2016. I was with our choir then, and we were doing a Kingdom Week tour and heading out to Arizona to an Indian reservation, and we stopped in here and spent some time with you all. And then this past summer, I was on a tour just visiting some of our partner churches as part of my new role in advancement, and I stopped in here and had lunch with several of you, and Leanne and Rachel and I at that time talked about this idea of the worship summit. And then I also had some time with Jim and Lenny and Isaac and some others, so it's good to be back here. And I'm looking forward to being able to come back again in another month or two and do some more stuff with you guys. Needless to say, I think it'd be an understatement if we said that the past 2 years have been unusual and difficult in so many ways for so many people. And I'm sure that everyone in this room, and Lenny already alluded to that, that you've been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic in some way, either personally or you know someone who suffered because of health issues, loss of a job, loss of income. You might be like the situation that my mother was in Oklahoma City. She was quarantined and locked up in her quote-unquote independent living facility for several months until she could get out and see family members. And you combine that with the unrest in our society, the social and racial issues that we're facing, as well as the turmoil within our own government, and it's really hard to be optimistic about anything. And right now, most of you are thinking, well, great, I'm glad Scott stayed around to share that with us today. So, but yet, I think the message turns a little hopeful here, because even amidst this chaos and uncertainty, Washington Avenue, God's people have continued to meet, albeit virtually for a season, and they've continued to worship together. Our churches have served their communities. They've continued to grow, and they continue to reach out to the lost and to help people with needs. God's church has not been shut down. Amen. We've been forced to adapt and change and become creative in many ways, but the body of Christ is still alive and well. Can I get an amen for that? Yeah, we've been fortunate and have had the same experience at Dallas Christian College. And I just want to give a quick update about where we are. We celebrated our 71st anniversary this past year with an in-person homecoming event back in the fall. We've been open the past 2 years with in-person classes. A lot of our classes that first year were in a hybrid format, so students had the option of remaining online or coming in person. But we were open this past fall. We experienced the largest new student enrollment in the history of the college, which we're praising God for. Our athletic teams all competed, and they finished out their seasons. Financially, we are in a pretty healthy position right now, and in response to the tremendous growth that we have experienced, DCC launched a Now Capital campaign back in October to help us deal with growing demand for student scholarships and facility needs, because we believe that now, more than ever, our world needs a college like Dallas Christian College. Now is the time for Christian higher education all over America to make an impact in our world, and we've got students who are being equipped and educated with a biblical worldview to go into society and be a light for those living in darkness. So while it may be easy for us to focus on the many negatives in our world, especially when we watch the evening news or you read what people are posting online through social media, today I want to share with you something that has challenged me and really motivated me during this very unique season that we find ourselves in. A few years ago, I was introduced to this Greek proverb by one of the speakers at the annual Global Leadership Summit. The proverb goes like this: a society grows great when old men and women plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit. Look at that again. A society grows great when old men and women plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit. Okay, now, for those of you who are young in our audience right now, okay, I don't want you checking out, okay, quite yet, because I really think that what we're going to talk about is true for all of us, whether we're 15 or we're 50 or we're 85. And the fact that we have such a wide range of ages, especially in this third service today, really makes this teaching even more applicable, I think. So what exactly is the writer saying here? Well, here's how I interpret these words. A society or a group of people living together, maybe a church body, will be healthy and functional when those who are a generation ahead are looking and investing and preparing for the future of those who are coming behind. In other words, my greatest contribution to the world that I live in is to live not just for myself and what I want or what I think is important, but to help create a future for those who are coming behind me that I may never get to see. To say it another way, I'm planting seeds right now that are going to grow and bear fruit and create trees that bring shade for people that I will never meet. And even more significant, I won't eat any of that fruit, nor will I have the opportunity to sit in any of that shade. I'm even more certain that God has put all of us here for such a time as this, and I believe today's meeting is ordained, just as Leanne said. Sunday, February 6, 2022 is an important day because we're here to influence this current generation of people moving forward and to leave a legacy that will outlive us. Now is the time for us to look at who we are influencing for the future of God's kingdom. Listen to what King David says about this in Psalm 145. He writes, "One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty." And I really like how the Message version interprets this. It says, "Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts." I think there's some important teachings in these couple of verses, and I want us to focus on those today. And to help with that, let me first ask you this, what I think is a fundamental question that will kind of set the stage for where we're going. Are you concerned at all about the future of our children and our grandchildren, the generations that are coming after us? Yes, you all were much better than the first and second services at answering that. Yeah, that's not a rhetorical question. I believe, you know, it should be a resounding yes, no matter what your age. Back in the summer of 2020, it was a few months after everything had shut down, we at the college knew that we were not going to be able to meet in person for some time like we had been. And so the college began hosting online virtual lunch meetings with our president, Dr. Brian Smith. And we used these events as an opportunity to connect with our partners in ministry and to give an update on what we were doing in response to the pandemic and how we were moving forward and what our plans were for the upcoming fall. And President Smith shared these statements at each of our lunches, and I'd like for you to listen to them because I think they're still very relevant and important a couple years later. Here's what he said. In light of current events, the economic crisis, COVID-19, injustices, and civil unrest, we are convinced that institutions like Dallas Christian College are more vital than ever. Places of Christian higher education that are centered on Jesus and his truths through a biblical worldview can help students learn how to do their ministries in many types of environments. DCC has an amazing opportunity to impact the world by preparing leaders who are equipped and trained to deal with these issues. And then his final statement, this is why now more than ever we need you, your partnership, your support to ensure that DCC and the local church thrive in this new and challenging season. Now, those statements are what our president was saying back in 2020, but I think they are, you know, very relevant for the church that we find existing right now in 2022. And it's, you know, although they speak well to the purpose and the mission of DCC, I really think it's more important how it speaks to what Christianity as a whole finds itself in right now. Because I believe now more than ever, we've got to be thinking about the next generation of Christian followers. So what are you doing? What are you doing? What am I doing to ensure that the trees we plant are going to provide fruit and shade for those who come after us? The verses we looked at in Psalm 145, I think, help answer this question. First, we build a foundation and leave a legacy by being willing to commend God's works to one another. And that means that we are aware of how God's working in our life and that we are praising him for his goodness and his faithfulness, and that, more importantly, we are willing to tell others that good news. Practically speaking, I think this is what the church does when we come together and worship each week. Obviously, that's been challenging the past 2 years as our ability to gather in person has oftentimes been interrupted, but as I shared before, God's church has found a way to adapt and to continue connecting people not only to God, but also to each other. But let me ask you this. How have you done personally with thanking God, even during this difficult season? You know, I know for me, this has been a challenge at times. So when businesses started shutting down, restaurants were closing, and I was quarantined at home for work, it was real easy for me to focus on what I didn't have and what I couldn't do at that moment. And unfortunately, I often missed the blessings that God was bringing my way each and every day. I know you all have heard other teachers, ministers, devotion writers talk about the importance of taking a moment out of our day to stop and think about how God has shown his mercy, his grace, and his goodness to us, even in simple ways. Maybe you're one of those that writes down 4 or 5 blessings each day, or you come to the end of the day and you look back and recount how God has been blessing you. But I have to admit that quite often I'm too self-focused, too self-absorbed, that I miss those moments of God's work in my own life. Sometimes they're very simple things. Other times they're quite extraordinary, but I miss them. So when we recognize these blessings in our own life, then I think the next generation will learn to do the same. Now, hasn't that been true for all of us that are here today? Think about who introduced you to Christ and taught you about the Bible and what it means to be a Christian. It may have been a parent or a grandparent. It may have been a co-worker or a classmate from school if you became a Christian later in life. Maybe a Sunday school teacher, a camp counselor at El Porvenir, a VBS worker. But someone was thinking about the next generation of believers when they introduced you to Jesus Christ. Now, for me, that was Margaret Basie. She was my Sunday school teacher when I was 8, 9, 10 years old at the Britain Christian Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. But who's that person for you, and how would your life be different if they hadn't introduced you to Jesus? Generation after generation stands in awe of your work, and each one tells stories of your mighty acts. It's now our responsibility to point the next generation to God and to tell stories of what he's done in our lives. And as I've said before, I think it's even more important at this time in history. By doing so, we can help plant seeds that produce the fruit of the Spirit. You know those: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Our society would look a lot different if we were all producing that kind of fruit in our own lives and helping nourish those Christ-like characteristics in the lives of others. Let's go back to our Greek proverb for just a second. A society grows great when old men and women plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit. What trees are you planting for this next generation? Are you focused on God's mighty works, his acts of kindness and goodness that are evident right now, even in the midst of the chaos of our world? Or are you more focused on being bitter and angry about the situation you find yourself in without recognizing God's blessing in the here and now? And remember, I'm asking these questions of myself, okay? I haven't figured this out. I haven't perfected the way to live this way yet, but I'm striving, I'm looking, I'm yearning for that idea of planting trees and leaving a legacy that I know I'm never going to get to fully experience. It's going to be left behind for someone else, and I am really hoping and praying that it will be left behind for a lot of you young people who are here today. When we look at Scripture, we realize that this teaching is not something that's new, because it's really what God intended from the very beginning when he called the nation of Israel his own and instructed them on how they should live. I want you to listen to these words from Deuteronomy chapter 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It's been God's plan from the very beginning that one generation would talk about his works, his ways to the next generation. I just recently came across another passage of Scripture that I had not connected to this idea before, and it comes to us in Exodus, well before Moses and the nation of Israel were given the Old Testament law that was being revisited in the book of Deuteronomy that we just saw. Here's what God said to Moses while the nation was still in Egypt. And to put it into context, if you remember, Moses was called by God to go to Pharaoh to ask him to let the people go so they could worship him. This happens time and time again. God sends all these plagues. Pharaoh eventually says yes, but then he continues to change his mind. And Scripture tells us that God was using Pharaoh in his stubborn heart for a specific purpose. So listen to what's written here in Exodus 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Return to Pharaoh and make your demands again. I have made him and his officials stubborn. Why? So I can display my miraculous signs among them. I've also done it so you can tell your children and grandchildren about how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and about the signs I displayed among them. And so you will know that I am the Lord." It was the responsibility of the people witnessing God's miraculous deliverance firsthand to eventually pass these stories down to their children and then their grandchildren. When we start talking about the purposes of the church and the reason why we gather on a Sunday morning to worship together, I think this is one of the main reasons. Those that were too young to understand, and even those who were not yet born, were going to hear about God's amazing power from their parents and their grandparents. It would be a testimony to the generations that were coming behind. Now, as Leanne's shared, I've spent several years teaching on worship at Dallas Christian College. I've been on a couple of church staffs as a worship leader. And so I'm going to speak to this expectation as someone who has been a worship leader, a teacher of worship for a number of years. And one of the challenges that I think the contemporary church in America has is that we've so segregated our age groups that it becomes nearly impossible to have this kind of intergenerational experience, especially on a Sunday. Now, I don't want to overgeneralize here, and I'm not pigeonholing any church or to say this is characteristic of all churches, okay? But I know that in the majority of the churches that I've served in the past 35 years, it was rare that children of all ages were with their parents in corporate worship. The only time I ever really saw it, and the only time I really see families together now, is during potluck dinners or Christmas Eve services. If you think about it. Now, one of the things I'm most encouraged about is there's a wide range of ages right here. This group over here that was worshiping right behind me, we were having a good time connecting with God. I appreciate that. But you all have a potluck dinner happening on Tuesday, if I remember right. Okay? So there's an opportunity there to gather. I also am really kind of intrigued how many of our older folks are going to show up for the sock hop on Friday. Because there are many of you in your, who grew up in the 50s and 60s who know what a real sock hop is, okay? And maybe you need to be there to interact with our children as they have this family event. But I'm not so sure we aren't missing out on something very important by not worshiping together more often. Now, obviously, as an educator, there's got to be a time and a place for age-appropriate activities, age-appropriate instruction, church experiences like camp and VBS, CIY, youth group meetings, and I think all those are great. But I also believe it's important for us to be intentional about letting our kids see us worship, to see adults worship. I already shared with you the significant role that my Sunday school teacher, Margaret Basie, played in my spiritual life. But in addition to her and the youth sponsors I had at my church when I was growing up, my grandparents, especially my grandmother, Grandma Spees, she had a profound impact on my love for Christian songs and hymns. I remember many times going to spend a week during the summer with my grandparents in western Oklahoma, and we would always find time during the day to sing songs like the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Okay, some of you know, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I think all of us probably know, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Everybody, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Do you see how unifying it is when we can all sing together? Now, I don't know what the ancient Israelites sang exactly when they were sharing these incredible stories about how God had delivered them from Egypt and how he had led them through the desert to the promised land. We've got a few hints in scripture, some of the songs that are recorded. But I am sure that a lot of them were very simple Jewish children's songs, much like the ones that many of us grew up with. And now, for those of you under the age of 20 who are looking at me like, what in the world just happened to our to our church, okay? You know that you've got songs that you've grown up with the last 5 to 10 years that are just as popular, okay? The lyrics are a bit different, and certainly the music style is way different than what I grew up with or what my Grandma Spees would be comfortable with. But the message is the same. And the message needs to be communicated, and we are the ones to make sure the next generation hears it. You know, I learned so many Bible stories, and I grew to love singing songs to God from my parents. My late father, Harold Spees, taught me how to be a humble deacon and servant in the church. And he modeled a reverence and a love for the Lord's Supper that still resonates with me and influences me today. I've spent a little bit of time in preparation for what was going to be our summit, talking with Leanne and Rachel, and we've talked about this idea of intergenerational worship quite a bit, and I love what you are doing here at Washington Avenue. You've got people on the platform of different ages. I know that some of our younger teens are going to be part of that experience, and they will be in the future. You have people of all ages leading in worship. And I know it's not always easy, and I know it's not always comfortable, but I do believe it's pleasing to God. We've had the same type of experience and some of the same challenges at Dallas Christian College, not so much with the age divide, but we are a very multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-denominational student body right now. And so as a result, there's no way that those of us who are leading worship each week for our weekly chapel services, there's no way we can pick songs and plan worship elements that are going to speak to everyone and make all our students happy all the time. It's impossible. We all have different tastes in music and style. We all have different preferences when it comes to worship. And we've all come from different backgrounds. But what makes the body of Christ work is that we have one Lord. Amen? And when I'm able to recognize that truth and understand that it's way more important for me to be worshiping with my brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter how old they are, no matter what color they are, no matter what denomination they come from, that's way more important than it is for me to have my own personal needs met. I believe that's pleasing to God, and I also believe that's how Jesus envisioned the early church when he prayed in John 17 that all future believers may be one. To coin a phrase we're all pretty familiar with, and I'm speaking it to me, it's not just about me. I got to remember that. I like how the Apostle Paul addressed this idea head on in Ephesians 4. He writes, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." God's plan for his people is that they would be united in their diversity. And specifically here in this passage from Ephesians 4, Paul is talking to and talking about Jews and Gentiles. Our mission is the same as the ancient Israelites, and it's the same as the early Christians, to tell stories of God's mighty acts. And I keep emphasizing how important it is for us to do that right now. Now's the time to make God's greatness known. I also like the way Paul emphasizes the urgency of this mission. He does so in Ephesians 5. He writes, "Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days." I think the Message version captures this well again. So watch your step, use your head, make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Well, I couldn't agree more with Paul's declaration there. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. I really believe that. I think this is a unique time in history that we as Christians, we as the church, we as Washington Avenue Christian Church need to take full advantage of. So I encourage you today to think about your life, how you are living it right now, even in the chaos and the uncertainty of a pandemic, coupled with economic and social and political unrest. Are you planting trees that someone else is going to benefit from down the road? Or are you simply planting seeds that right now are going to benefit you in the short term? The choice is yours, and your choice has eternal consequences and an eternal impact. I'd like to share this quote with you from Irwin McManus that I think expresses this idea well. It comes from his book, The Last Arrow. He writes, "The tragedy of a life that is never fully lived is not simply the loss of that one life. The tragedy is the endless number of lives that would have been forever changed if we had chosen to live differently." I want to, I'm striving to, I'm working on trying to live my life differently and live in such a way that my life leaves a legacy for those who will follow after me. And my hope and my prayer is that you will choose to do the same. For a society grows great when old men and women plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day of life that you've given us. We are mindful of the many blessings that you have poured out on us, and we ask your forgiveness for the times, the many times that we have failed to recognize those blessings and when we fail to thank you for your goodness. Help us today through the power of your Holy Spirit to live in such a way that we would make a difference in this world. Help us to pass on what we have learned to the next generation that they might know you and know your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you for your mercy, your grace, and your forgiveness. We ask you to be with us throughout the rest of this day and in the weeks and the months ahead. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. And I've shared earlier that back in the summer and fall, we launched this capital campaign, and as we were looking for a title for that, we looked at several options and landed on Now. We felt like the Now idea expressed the urgency of what we were hoping to convey to our partners in ministry that Dallas Christian College was wanting to do and what God was wanting to do through us. We found out just a few months after we selected that title and the catchphrase, Now is the Time, that DCC's founder and its first president made a very challenging statement during one of his final sermons before he was tragically killed in a plane crash just a few days after that. His statement was, if you are ever going to do something for God, do it now. And that really became an affirmation of right now we're focused on what we believe God has challenged us to do. So as we come to a time of decision, or if you've got something that you need to pray about with someone here, we invite you to come forward and do that as we sing this last song. But I'm going to challenge you with that same challenge of Vernon Newland, that if you are ever going to do something for God, if you have a decision to make, make the most of this opportunity and do it now. Let's stand and let's continue to worship.
Been held in your hands from the moment that
bless you. Go plant some trees.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to Worship Experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace. We're thrilled that you have chosen to spend a little bit of your Sunday morning with us. And if this is your first time, or if you have been viewing us for just a couple of weeks, would you do us a favor and text the word welcome to the number at the bottom of your screen, and we would love to get in touch with you. Now, if you need prayer or have any kind of concerns, you can text pray to that exact same number that's on your screen. And maybe you made the decision today to follow Jesus. We are so, so excited about that, and we would love to celebrate that with you. So go ahead and text believe to that number, and somebody will be in touch with you to celebrate and to help you find your next steps soon. We're just real people experiencing real grace here at Washington Avenue Christian Church, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week.